أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن الليل فتهجد به نافلة لك عسى أن يبعثك ربك مقاما محمودا. وقل رب ادخلني مدخل صدق وأخرجني مخرج صدق واجعلني من لدنك سلطانا نصيرا. وقل جاء الحق وزهق الباطل إن الباطل كان زهوقا. وننزل من القرآن ما هو شفاء ورحمة للمؤمنين ولا يزيد الظالمين إلا خسارا. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. الله تبارك وتعالى in verse 79 mentions ومن الليل فتهجد به. In a portion of the night, perform the salah of tahajjud. Nafilatan lak, that is extra for you. This could also mean that the tahajjud namaz was farz upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So although the 5 daily prayers is farz, but tahajjud is something extra that is farz upon you. One commentary is that. That's why some ulama mentioned that tahajjud was farz upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another opinion of the ulama is that tahajjud was not farz, but here nafilatan lak, meaning that it's nafil for you. So nafil, optional prayer for you and the ummah. Anyway, whatever the difference is among the ulama, one thing is for certain, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never missed tahajjud prayer. Never ever. But because it's nafil and he didn't want it to be a burden upon the ummah, he would not wake up his wives for tahajjud as well. So he would not wake his wives up for tahajjud prayer. The only time he'll wake up his wife for tahajjud prayer will be in Ramadan. In Ramadan he'll wake his wives up for tahajjud prayer because of the greatness of the month of Ramadan. Other times he will not wake them up. Anyway. Tahajjud is a salah at a time when everyone's asleep. And to wake up from our sleep, that is a great mujahada itself. That is a great sacrifice itself. That's why there's great reward in tahajjud, because you have to forsake our warm beds. Once we are asleep, to get up is very, very difficult. We wake up for fajr this day, mashallah, that itself is a great ni'mat itself. But alhamdulillah, tahajjud has great reward, great sawab. Allah makes mention of that in the Quran Kareem, praising the muttaqeen, praising the people who are Jannah. And one of the reasons why they are praised by Allah, Allah mentions, تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَلِ الْمَضَاجِعِ, that they forsake their beds. They forsake their beds. Bistaron ko chhod dete hain. And why? Not so they can watch TV all night. We forsake our beds for the wrong reasons. Have a snack in the night at 1, 2 o'clock. Or watch TV or go out somewhere. تَتَجَافَ جُنُوبُهُمْ عَلِ الْمَضَاجِعِ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ خَوْفًا وَطَمَعًا. There are those who forsake their beds, and for the purpose is to call their Lord. Call their Lord. Out of fear. Fear of the accountability. Fear of the day of Qiyamah. Let's stand in front of Allah. Let's do rujoo ila Allah. Let's do tawbah. Let's do istighfar. That's the reason why. وَطَمَعًا, and with umid, with hope, that Allah will forgive our sins. Allah will shadow us with His mercy, with His rahmat. We will become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously when a person wakes up in the night for tahajjud, that is a sign of his closest to Allah and how much he loves Allah. Otherwise, why is going a person going to wake up in the middle of the night? Unless someone's in deep difficulty and hardship, has gone through a lot of problems, then he'll probably wake up in the night. As soon as that difficulty goes away, back to normal. Allah makes a mention of that in the Quran Kareem as well. وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرُّ دَعَانَا لِجَنْبِهِ أَوْ قَاعِدًا أَوْ قَائِمًا. When human beings are afflicted with difficulty and hardship, he calls us in the day, night, standing, sitting. فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُ ضُرَّهُ When we remove that difficulty, مَرَّ كَأَلَّمْ يَدْعُنَا إِلَىٰ ضُرِّ مَسَّهُ He goes about as if he never even called us. Allah knows insan, Allah created insan, Allah created human beings, Allah knows our temperament, our mizaj, what we're going to do. Khair, even then Allah is forgiving, Allah is merciful, Allah removes all these difficulties from us, despite the fact that we decrease our ibadat and we increase our sins even more, yet still Allah shadows with His mercy, Allah gives us honor and izzat and respect. You know, we should be so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in tahajjud, because the topic is tahajjud, he'll perform long rakats, that his feet will get swollen. Feet will get swollen. Sahaba will ask, Ya Rasulullah, your sins are all forgiven, you are masoom. Allahu Akbar, what is the point in going through all this mujahada? Was replied by saying, Afala akuna abdan shakura. Should I not be a grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The standing up in the night, not because whether it's farz or not, whether my sins are forgiven or not, we should stand up in front of Allah to show our gratitude to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's put what is farz, wajib, sunnat aside. All the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that itself responds from us, Allah, to be show gratitude to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To show be grateful to Allah, and the best way to be grateful to Allah is going to salah, going to sijda, ajazi, inkisari, humbleness, and don't show our bravery, show our humbleness to Allah tabarakallah. Oh Allah, we are weak. Oh Allah, we are weak. Even if Allah has given us the tawfiq to perform 5 daily prayers, we are punctual in everything, even then wake up for tahajjud and say, oh Allah, yes, you've given us the tawfiq to performing 5 daily prayers, but our salah is not that salah it's supposed to be. The lack of devotion, lack of sincerity, lack of ikhlas, we're all wandering here and there in salah, oh Allah. We don't know even if we are parked or not properly or not. Oh Allah, please accept all our ibadat, despite our weaknesses and shortcomings. That's how we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the tahajjud prayer, subhanallah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned so much fazila and so much virtue. In one hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentions that the du'as that were made during the last portion of the night and after the first salah are the most listened to by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are most accepted by Allah basically. After farz namaz, ba'da salatil maktuba. So those people who completely do not make any du'a at all after farz namaz, look at the hadith. Ba'da salatil maktuba. After farz namaz. Make du'a. This is the time of turning towards Allah. Because if you're not going to make du'a after namaz, when are you going to make du'a? When are we going to make dua? How many of us wake up for tahajjud to make dua? How many of us? This is one time after first namaz that we got a great opportunity to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala makes a mention that woman al-layli fatahajjad bihi nafilatan lak asa an yab'athaka rabbuka maqaman mahmuda. Soon your Lord will accord to you the maqame mahmud. The maqame mahmud. This part of the verse comforts Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by informing him that he'll have to bear the hardship for a few days in this world and the torments and the ridiculing and the mocking of the kuffar. But soon you just do sabr. Allah is telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but you believe in this world for such a position which is the maqam-e mahmud. Such an exalted permission reserved for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. Which the whole creation will envy of that position and exalted state that Allah will grant Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some have given other interpretations. In the hadith of Bukhari, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that on the day of judgment, people will run to all the anbiya, pleading with them to intercede before Allah for the reckoning to commence. Because just waiting for the reckoning itself would be so terrifying. Waiting for the judgment is so, if you're being called into the office, you're in trouble, you're just waiting half hour, 1 hour, you're sweating already, you're not even, why just go and get it over and done with? This is how we feel in the dunya. This is the day of Qiyamah in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when all our deeds are going to be presented. Allahu Akbar. How that day will be, Allahu Akbar. So always ask to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it easy for us on the day of Qiyamah. Allah, make it easy for us. Grant us the shade of your arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Because that is what is going to be required. Because when we are waiting, the sun will be just a mile above our heads. Allahu Akbar. How are we going to bear that? We can't bear the heat here. How are we going to bear that? That is, but there are certain people, subhanallah, who even on that day will be under the shade of the arsh and the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, they'll get peace and sukoon and rahat even on that day. And there's so many people being mentioned in the hadith of Prophet. So who are they going to? One is Imamun Adil, a munsif badshah, a king who is just. He will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not easy when you're in leader to become insaf and to be just. It's not easy. But that's why it's such exalted permission, position granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one other one is called Ashabun Nasha' bi ibadatillah. And that youngster who's intoxicated in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because of a youth in his prime, so many temptations, so many desires, wants to do so many things, but he controls his whims, he controls his desires, he controls his khayshat, and his life is according to the commands of Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is Allah's marzi, that's his marzi. You know what I mean? That is an honor for that youngster, because it's not easy. Because when he's youth, everyone wants to go, chill, pill, and then the person, no, my Allah's told me to do this, I'll do this. Then that will be recognized by Allah, be appreciated by Allah. And then that youngster on the day of Qiyamah, subhanallah, will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another, regarding one other person as well, that person who will be under the shade of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the shade, inshallah, will be that person, al-qalbu mu'allakun fil masajid. That person's heart is always attached to the masjid. Person's heart is always attached to the masjid, wherever he is. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the masjid. He could be outside, at home, in work, place, committed, whatever. But always looking for namaz. Go to the masjid, go to the masjid. His first priority is not praying namaz at home. His first priority is not to pray namaz where he's working. His first priority is, if he can, is no. Look for a nearby masjid, perform salah in the masjid. On the day. That shows his love for Allah, his love for deen. And otherwise those who are over, it doesn't matter, we'll do qaza later. We'll do qaza later, it's okay, it doesn't matter. But it doesn't even come across our mind to perform salah. That is the worst, that when salah time comes, it does not even come into our mind that I have to perform salah. Anyway, the fazilat and the virtue have been mentioned, Allahu Akbar, of tahajjud prayer. Tahajjud prayer is a sign of the pious and the righteous. If you want to, subhanallah, get close to Allah, wake up for tahajjud prayer. Wake up for tahajjud. If you want our du'as to be accepted, wake up for tahajjud prayer. Don't think that it's just nafil, it doesn't really matter. Just because nafil, that doesn't mean that it's not be doing, you should do it. And we are more in need of nafil prayer. Because in the hadith of Qudsi, Allah Ta'ala mentions, لَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. My servant continues to get close to me through the nawafil prayer, through the optional prayer. So through optional nawafil prayer, we get more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's our purpose of life, to get close to Allah. And when we become close to Allah, then Allah becomes Allahu Akbar. Allah listens to what we say, what we request from Him. We won't be rejected. Allah gives us so much barakah, and we come to such a level where we get hayatun tayyiba, pakiza zindagi. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes a mention, وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَدْخِلْنِي مُدْخَلَ صِدْقٍ وَأَخْرِجْنِي مُخْرَجَ صِدْقٍ وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا. Say, O my Lord, allow me to enter a pleasant place. Allow me to leave pleasantly. Meaning, when allow me to enter a pleasant place, referring to Jannah. Darus Salam is a place of peace. Anybody? And allow me to leave presently, leave this world presently. Oh Allah, oh Allah, let me leave this world in such a manner that you are pleased with me. When I die, oh Allah, in such a state that you are pleased with me. You are pleased with me, that is the most important thing. Anybody? Because when a person dies with Iman and Islam, that means he's left this world in a pleasant manner. And if he dies in kufr and shirk and guna, and then that is not a good death. That is a death which is displeasing to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will be displeasing to the people who is left behind, because they will be embarrassed. Okay, this person died while in the state of kufr and shirk and guna and sin. Okay, Allahu Akbar. So always ask for afiyat and ease and pleasantness. وَاجْعَلْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ سُلْطَانًا نَصِيرًا. And grant me such authority from yourself that is coupled with assistance and help. وَقُلْ, say, جَاءَ الْحَقِّ, the truth has arrived. وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ, and falsehoods are vanished. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا, indeed falsehoods were bound to disappear. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Makkah al-Mukarramah, the conquest of Makkah, this is the verse that he was reciting. جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. Look at all the difficulties he went through before that. All the hardship, all the torture, emotional torture, physical torture, all the Sahaba, many were martyred. And the end result, Allah said, وَإِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. The falsehoods were bound to disappear. Why? They gained the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we see the falsehood, you know, becoming a bit more apparent, becoming overwhelming, don't ever think by that is it. No, no, no. Allah says, إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. It will disappear. If not in our life, in someone else's life. And if not, soon as the world ends, then you know. Then everyone know what is haq and what is falsehood. Soon as qiyamah takes place, what is the qiyamah about? What is qiyamah about? What was right and what was wrong? Who was on the truth and who was on falsehood? When qiyamah takes place, we will realize how important it is for the qiyamah to take place. Because look at the zulm that takes place in the world. For that, qiyamah has to take place. Let alone, you know, what's going on in the other world, in our own homes, in our own environment, in our societies, how much zulm takes place. And sometimes we cannot do anything. So for that, that is an indication. That's why there is qiyamah, because things are not going to be sorted out in the court of the dunya. There's the court of akhirah in the hereafter, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus time and time Allah reminds us of that court. Be wary that you may get away with in the dunya, but not in the hereafter. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to prepare for our life in the hereafter. Prepare for the life in the hereafter. And as mentioned regarding tahajjud prayer, do much ibadat as possible. The nafil prayer, the voluntary prayer, so we get more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once a person gets so close to Allah, then every command of Allah will not be a burden. It will embrace that command of Allah, embrace that order of Allah, because it's come from my Habib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallah.